Red Blue Hoops is presented by German American Bank. From the banks of the Ohio River in Evansville, Indiana, this is Red Blue Hoops with fanatical Red host Chad Payton and obsessive Blue host Evan Beck.
Welcome, everyone, to the fourth season of the award-winning Red Blue Hoops show here on your WNIN 88.3 and live streaming on WNIN.org. Give us a call as our phone lines are open at 812-426-7400 or tweet us at Red Blue Hoops. I am Evan Beck, your voice for the Kentucky Wildcats, and joining me again tonight as the voice for the Indiana Hoosiers is Chad Payton. Chad, welcome to tonight's show.
Thank you, Evan. Kind of snuck up on us tonight, didn't it?
Well, people run around the studio, not in position. It was like defense, like you're zoning the inbounds pass, and one guy's out of spot.
It looked like Josh Newkirk trying to defend that last play against Ohio State, where he really didn't defend him at all. The guy hit a great shot.
I will say this, though, and I meant this sincerely. I sent you a text. That was a heartbreaker.
You did. I appreciate that.
I've been there. You know, the 92 Christian Laettner shot, it's a heartbreaker. That was a huge game for you guys.
It was. It was a game we needed. But
we've got Walker, the intern, back in Studio 2 tonight. Walker, welcome to tonight's show.
Thank you. Just doing some bracketology and
got a lot to work
scoreboard.
On, man.
I know.
It is officially March Madness. 1.
We've got Allison in the green room tonight over there tweeting, I guess.
Taking pictures, too.
Berger and Maria. Phone lines are already lit up. Not surprising.
The river is almost seeping up to the studio level here. Maria's got her life jacket on.
Speaking of the river, last Friday night, Chad, I had to go out and do an emergency run in a boat, seriously, to pull some equipment off a farm last Friday night. I'll say this. We got to the location, and the groundwater pressure was so severe, the entire area that we were working in was percolating. And the guy that was with me was literally freaking out. It sounded like the earth was going to open up and
swallow you guys in.
The water was rising fast. It's been dangerous around here.
Absolutely.
So hopefully the rivers have crested and will start to get back to normal pools. But so you mentioned you guys had a big game against Ohio State.
We did.
But looking back to last week, we can't fail to mention we had a huge live remote
Good
at Bar
call.
Louie last week. And
we did.
Credit to everyone on the WNIN team for putting that together. It was, a huge success. I want to thank our listeners that came out and supported the show. The feedback that we've gotten this week has been very positive, and we hope to do that again in the future.
I can't echo that enough. Thank you, all the fans that came out. It was a good crowd. It was a very diverse crowd.
Yes.
We actually had some Louisville and North Carolina fans. That was just by chance, really.
Yes.
But they were very intrigued with the show and got some great reviews. So
it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was.
A lot of fun. And I tell you what, another thing pointing out to – I guess sometimes we don't realize how far reaching our listening base is. I was telling you off the air, last weekend we were at Rupp Arena for the Missouri game, and we took our friends Don and Keith Bratton. We're trying to convert them from Illinois to Kentucky fans.
Ooh, interesting.
So sitting there, you know, pregame, watching Kentucky warm up, and former guest on this show, Mike Pratt, who does UK
Absolutely.
Radio. He's the color guy for UK Radio, and he walks over. We're chatting. He asks about the radio show this year, and I was talking to him about that, and he goes, Evan, I've had some friends in Southeast Indiana tell me that they've heard me be on your show, which fascinates me, you know. So
we are national programming.
But we do appreciate all of our listeners
Absolutely.
And our supporters. Again, phone lines 812-426-7400 or tweet.
At Red Blue Hoops.
Let's go ahead and go to the phone lines, and guess what? We have All-American Shooter back on the line. Shooter, welcome to tonight's show.
Hey, good evening, guys. How are you doing?
Doing awesome.
Shooter, are you okay? I've not talked to you this week. I have not seen many tweets, man. What's going on?
It's been a busy week. You're speaking about River there, Evan, my new best friend, Evan Beck. The River is tears from Indiana fans not being able to win these last two games.
Yeah, it has been a little rough.
Played well.
Mm-hmm.
Did enough to win.
Yep.
But hit free throws.
Yep.
But that being said, this team's got to figure out a way to string three wins together.
three. What are you getting at there as far as what?
We got to beat Rutgers tonight, Purdue, and then probably Michigan State in the final.
Well, that it would take four wins for us to get there. But are you talking about getting in the NCAA tournament or the NIT?
Sir. Yes, sir.
We have to win the tournament to get into the NCAA tournament.
And I'm telling you, I don't know if this team has enough offensive firepower to do that.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. For us, I think it would be a plus just to win tonight and tomorrow, and I think that's probably enough to get in the NIT. Probably still close, but any NIT action would be good for this team. More games to play for these young players prepping for next year.
And then on a serious note, the game that we love, college basketball, is changing so drastically over the last few weeks. You know, you've got Calipari on press conferences saying, you know just as much as I know. You got Sean Miller today saying, I didn't say I was going to pay him, but I offered some money. I mean, it's really confusing, and I think that the one-and-done rule is going to be going out the door, and I wonder what's going to happen to Evan's boy, Coach Cal, when that happens.
Well, I know Evan's got some points on this. I'm going to just say something real quick. We were talking offline, but I don't think this – what's been out with Thamel and 40 is much, really. I don't see much there. I don't think anything's going to happen. And now with this Sean Miller deal, I don't think he did anything either. So there's a lot more to come. Evan's done more on that. Evan, you want to comment on
some
of that?
Tell you what we'll do. We'll go ahead and appreciate the call, Shooter, so much, because there's a lot to talk about in regard to the FBI.
Yep.
We did touch on this last week at the live remote at Bar Louie. And then the very next morning, wasn't it, Chad? This story broke with a document supposedly coming from the Andy Miller agency, and it was released by Yahoo Sports. And the document appeared to be some sort of ledger or balance sheet with a lot of names on it. It talked about, kids going to dinners all the way up to supposedly loans and whatever.
Right.
So the college basketball world, per se, last Friday, it really took off in regard to this FBI story. But it took me back to – I began to change my perspective on the NCAA and how it runs college basketball and other college athletics. And I'm going to probably say a lot of things that may sit wrong with people, because a lot of people hold amateurism in a very high regard. But my opinion, folks, if you think that this is an amateur sport, you're being very naive. College basketball, in my opinion, is at this point a 100% farm system for the NBA.
Yeah,
okay.
No doubt.
So a lot of people have an issue of separating the one and done. The one and done is not an NCAA rule. It's a rule that is put in place by the NBA Players Association that has been negotiated by the agents, okay? There are 120 approved agents that can represent NBA players. This story, this is the scary part for everybody. For every fan listening out there, this is
the
scary part.
One.
This is only one agent out of 120. Now, he's lost his license or whatever they actually issue to represent NBA players, but this is one out of 120. Let me take you back to 2011 when Kentucky made the Final Four in Houston, Chad.
Yeah, it's a good story.
My family was down there, and I met Josh Harrelson's father. Josh Harrelson was a starting center for Kentucky that year, and he was from the state of Missouri. And I met Josh Harrelson at met his father at a team event. And his father started telling the story about how he had to sell scrap metal for 4 days just to scrape money together to get to the Final Four because he couldn't afford it. Now, here's the NCAA that's making $1 billion-plus off March Madness that 1 year. You've got the president of the NCAA making over $2 million a year, but it's an impermissible benefit for the University of Kentucky to help that family get down to the Final Four to watch their son play. I just have a very hard time dealing with that.
There's not much common sense there.
There's not. To take it a step further, Deron Lamb, the starting two guard that season for Kentucky, his family didn't even get to go to Houston. They couldn't afford to get down there. Once again, you got Mark Emmert sitting in the ivory tower in Indianapolis making $2 million a year, but a kid's family can't go to the Final Four. You know, one of the black marks, per se, against Calipari's record, the 96 Final Four appearance at UMass was vacated because Marcus Camby, quote-unquote, took money from an agent while he was at UMass. Well, everyone said, oh, that was probably Calipari funneling money to him. Well, now this story is starting to shine the light to where, look, there's a lot of backdoor activity going on that the schools may or may not know about, the coaches may or may not know about. no one listening to the show knows, all right? If you act like you know, you're sitting on your high horse. I think it's a value judgment that you're seeing things through your own lens. In my opinion, the system is failing because people say that pay-to-play is going to be a broken system from amateurism standpoint, but guess what? We are paying to play right now. We're just paying the wrong people.
Absolutely.
Paying the wrong people. So, again, the Big Ten and SEC are two of the richest conferences in NCAA athletics right now. I think it was in 2016, each Big Ten team got $40 million each from a TV deal. But yeah, you can't help a family go to a Final Four.
Yeah,
it's just wrong. So until this system is fixed, the black market, as they call it, all this, you know, in the shadows, behind the scenes, money supposedly exchanging hands, it's going to stay that way until the players are able to earn their value. And I know it's a touchy subject. People don't like hearing that, but until that's changed, it's going to continue to happen.
Well, and also, I agree with that, actually, 100%. And then just the other thing we were talking offline is the journalism behind ESPN and some of the things that with this story, they just unfortunately don't add up. And I think they were information was leaked too early. And what'd you say earlier that a judge now has said no more leaking of this of the information? And
that's right.
It's just – it's crazy. Yeah, it's the fake news narrative, man.
It seems like it. And again, what you said earlier, I have to agree with. That document was built up so much last week when it was released, and I looked at it, I was unimpressed.
I mean, it's not much
about,
on there.
If you're talking about getting all wound up about a family supposedly meeting with an agent at a Texas Roadhouse, are you kidding me?
Tamil and 40 said last November or October, this is going to be the scandal that rocks college basketball. And the evidence that I've seen so far, there is not much there.
No.
It may change some things, but as far as rocking the sport and coaches getting fired and all that kind of thing, I don't see it. See that? I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
I guess
could be more to come out. But
as last Friday continued to develop and I started learning more, I actually shifted gears a little bit, Chad. I was hoping this story was so big that it would force the hand of the NCAA to finally make some legitimate changes to the system.
Right.
Because right now, NCAA baseball players, NCAA hockey players, and I think some swimmers can have representation while in college.
How is that?
But you can't do it in basketball and football.
Incredible.
Okay, check this out. Let's say you go to Indiana on a music scholarship. I don't even know if Indiana has a good music program.
I am a pretty good. Remember,
you're right.
You heard
That's
me play
right.
the guitar the, last year in drums.
Let's just say Indiana has a phenomenal music program, and a kid goes there on a music scholarship.
Yes.
They're studying. They're studying their craft at IU. And on nights and weekends, they can go to a local pub or a whatever, perform and get paid.
Make some cash.
Right?
Yeah.
Guess what? That's because they're earning their value, and they're still on scholarship. Why not implement the Olympic model?
Okay.
When that first got changed years ago, they said, oh, we're going to lose all the fans. They won't like these athletes because they're not amateurs anymore. Okay, this year, Lindsey Vonn, she's made how many millions of dollars? How many people were cheering for her as she was going in those ski slopes this year on
NBC? That's incredible. No, you're right.
So the bottom line is all these kids have a tremendous value. They are forced to go to college for 1 year, which think about that. You have to go to college for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
The other option is go to Europe, which I don't think is a very good option for these kids. There's been some kids try it, and it hasn't gone well for them at all.
There was an article earlier saying that Australia is creating some kind of league that might pique some interest. Now, I did not read that article, but
Isaac Humphries from UK last year, the sophomore.
Is that where he's at?
He's in Australia, and he got Rookie of the Year down there, in fact. So anyway, but they're forced to go to college for 1 year. They're not paid, and obviously they know what they're worth, and they're going to be making millions here in a few months. Until that's changed, the agents or whoever are going to be mixing in this model, okay? So let's just remove all that. Maybe one idea is this. Let's say you're determined you're a player of value, that you're going to be potentially drafted next year.
Right.
Why not set up a small loan amount that's available to you and your family if you need to draw on that during the year? And we also provide health insurance. There's enough money in the system to do it. And that way a family is not trying to scrape $12,000 to $20,000 to $30,000 or maybe here recently $100,000.
Yeah.
That's all peanut money compared to the system.
It is.
Peanuts. So I don't know. On a little bit of a soapbox, but
I mean, I think that's worthy stuff to talk about there.
But Wendell Carter at Duke, right? He was part of the deal last week for, yes. I think, a meal with an agent. Well, let me tell you a little bit about him. He's not originally from Atlanta, but he came from an academy in Atlanta.
Okay.
And my nephew competed against him. Wendell Carter went to Pace Academy in the Buckhead area. And again, Wendell's not even from Atlanta. He went to Pace Academy. He never paid tuition, and tuition's $30,000 a year there, and never paid room and board. So where did that money come from? How did that happen? Where's that? I mean, why is that not getting flushed out in the system?
Yeah, that's interesting.
That's a benefit that someone's providing him. So I don't know. Lots to talk about in regard to that, and we hope it all gets fixed because the bottom line is it's one of our favorite things to do. We're fans of the game.
No doubt about it.
Right? Whether or not these kids are playing in school for 1 year or not is not going to change the March Madness. It's still going to be the most awesome sporting event of the year.
It is.
Whether or not these one-and-done kids are there or not. I mean, it's not the one-and-done. That's not the whole problem of the system because a lot of these kids in this report, a four-year player from Norfolk State or four-year player from I mean, it's all over the place.
It is. It is.
And I can tell you, I mentioned this last week or week before, I know with 100% personal knowledge of a mid-major. I mean, I'm talking about a true mid-major program where the kids had cash after every single win given to them by a booster. And this is back in the 90s.
Yeah.
I'm talking a small mid-major, okay? So, again, if you think that your program's 100% clean, you are dead naive, folks.
You know, something that just things that make you go, a little bit is I was just thinking about the Zion Williamson recruiting process. How he basically, Duke really was not even on that radar, and he went there. Right. Kind of makes you wonder a little bit. Right. I don't know. I mean, I think he had a 3% chance of going to Duke, and he said, I'm going to Duke. So
I mean, if Calipari's paying players, he's not paying enough because he's been losing a lot of recruits.
Yeah, and if Indiana's paying players, I want my money back.
Exactly. I mean, you're talking about dating back to Shabazz Muhammad, went to UCLA. There's been a bunch of kids down through the years. The kid that went to Kansas, this Selby kid, UK was after big time. He ended up flaming out, didn't be that good of a player. But there's been a lot of kids that Calipari's lost over the years. And Duke, you know, they signed the top three recruits for next year's class.
The only Kentucky thing, and you would know more about this than me, is the Bam story. That is, there was a lot of money in that story. I think like $40,000.
$12,000 at first, and it went to $36,000. Then it said bad loan. And from what I'm told is that there was someone in the Bam circle, not a family member, someone in his circle of influence per se, that this agency was trying to influence to get Bam to go to NC State. So that's the good column versus the bad column. He didn't go to NC State.
Right.
NC State's an Adidas school. We know the whole Adidas connection in this story.
Uh-huh.
So they're claiming he's – now, let me say this, though. If you were to tell me right now, 100% fact, that Bam or someone in his family or circle of influence took cash, I would not fall out of my chair with shock. I just wouldn't because
– it's a poor family, right?
He came from a completely destitute, poor situation. He and his single mother lived in a trailer that had a tree growing through it.
Yeah.
She had no driver's license, had to walk to work when she was able to work. So if you told me he took $36,000, it wouldn't shock me. Guess what, folks? He deserves it.
Yeah.
How much did he make Kentucky last year? How much did he sell tickets in the NCAA tournament going to the Elite Eight? That's worth $1 billion in TV rights. He earned it.
I agree with you, but the rule says you can't do that.
I'm not condoning breaking rules, but I'm saying the system has to get changed.
And
guess what, folks?
Path.
The NCAA is getting flushed out right now. They're under pressure. And Embert last week on CBS, I thought he made a couple of good comments, but he also stepped on himself a little bit too.
Did he?
I mean, he made some major errors in his comments.
Yeah.
And you're seeing some of the more respected media come out now with some excellent articles this week about this system's completely broken.
Yeah.
So, but no one has the magic bullet answer yet.
Yeah.
Walker, you had a comment?
I was saying someone's commercial.
Oh, well, thank you, Walker.
Man, you intern.
Yeah.
Take care of biz.
Tell you what, Marie, ready to go to our first break? All right, folks, welcome back. Well, I'm sorry. Stay tuned. We'll be back for our second segment, Red Blue Hoops. Go Big Blue.
Go Hoosiers.
Support for Red Blue Hoops comes from German American Bank, German American Bank offers checking accounts to help manage everyday life with mobile banking, mobile bill pay, mobile check deposit, and mobile pay people. Learn more at germanamerican.com.
All right, basketball fans, welcome back to Red Blue Hoops for our second segment of tonight's show. We're down here in Studio 2 at WNIN 88.3. Going back to the phone lines, we have another All-American Red Blue Hoops caller. Wayne, welcome to tonight's show.
What's up, Wayne? You there?
Hello?
Oh, we're going to
Kim. That sounds like Mom.
Hey, Kim, go ahead. Welcome to Red Blue Hoops.
Oh, I thought you said Will.
No, I said Wayne. We thought it was Wayne, but it's
go ahead,
not Wayne,
Kim.
It's you.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, first of all, that was really nice last week. You have an awesome family, Evan.
Well, thank you.
You've got to be proud of that beautiful wife and that handsome son.
Very much I'm proud of them. Thank you so much. Yes.
Bless. Okay, and you were talking about people that didn't have a lot of money. Well, I was watching on TV this Jacksonville State player. He's in college now. They surprised him, and his mother came to see him, and she hasn't seen him since he was 11 years old.
Yeah, five years.
I saw that.
Yeah, they had not seen each other in 5 years. How about that?
That was so touching.
Yeah, that was a great video. And that's here in Evansville.
It's in Evansville, yeah.
At the Ohio Valley Conference is here this week. Jacksonville State's in
that
conference.
That's right. I saw that. Okay.
Awesome. Thanks for bringing that up, Kim.
Okay. Well, also, I want to know, have you lived in Indiana all your life?
Who, me? Evan?
Yes.
No, I moved here in 1994.
He's the pride of Madisonville, Kentucky.
Madisonville, Kentucky via Murray State to Evansville in 94. We were going to live here for 2 years, and we're still here.
Okay, well, good. Well, is that why you're a Kentucky fan, or how did you get to be a Kentucky fan?
Yes, I was born in Glasgow, Kentucky, and my dad went to the University of Kentucky, and while my mother was working putting my dad through undergrad, they never missed a home UK game back in Memorial Coliseum, back when Pat Riley and that crew was all playing. So I was born, bred a UK fan. So there, and my first memories visually was the 78 national championship team that we just celebrated 40 years at Rupp Arena this past weekend.
Great.
Jack Givens.
Okay. Goose Givens, 41 against Duke and St. Louis on Indiana's floor.
That's right. I remember you saying that last year.
Yep.
That was impressive.
Okay, I'm going to say something bipartisan.
All right.
Good luck to the Kentucky Wildcats and IU Hoosiers and the NCAA.
All right, we'll take it. We
Kim,
need it.
Okay. You are a sweetheart. Thank you.
You have a great weekend, guys.
Hey, the Hoosiers come on at 8 o'clock tonight, Mom. You got to pull them in.
All right, awesome. Thanks, Kim. Appreciate it.
Love you.
So, Walker. Chad, you talked a little bit about your heartbreak last week.
Yep.
I mentioned Kentucky hosted Missouri last Saturday in Rupp Arena. And we were coming off recently a 4-game losing streak. And, you know, it was looking pretty rough. But during that streak, Cal Perry in a press conference said, despite what you're seeing, this team is getting better. And all the UK fans were like, oh.
He did. He stuck with it.
Cal, you're full of it, whatever, yeah. Yada, yada, yada. So since that 4-game losing streak, which we averaged 65 per game, we've won 4 in a row. We're averaging 88 a game. How can you – it's like flipping a switch. Have you been able to see any of the games at all?
Partially. I am not as committed to Kentucky as you are with the show and committed to Indiana, which
oh,
I appreciate
yeah.
that.
Yes, sir.
Is it scheduling, though? Because
no.
those 4 games in a row that they lost, that was all to pretty good teams, was it not?
I mean, there was Tennessee was in there.
Texas A&M, Auburn.
Texas A&M, but Auburn and so – But
they're all good teams at all NCAA
yeah.
tournament teams.
Yeah.
I'm just comparing Indiana's 4-game losing
right.
streak. You had the Illinois loss in there, but then you had Michigan State, Ohio State, and Purdue. So
in our 4-game winning streak, we've played 3 teams have been ranked around 40 in KenPom.
Okay.
The worst one was last night, Ole Miss was our lowest ranked team in the 4-game stretch. But to go up 23 points on your offensive average just like overnight is just crazy.
What's different with the lineup? Is there
he
anything?
He totally changed a lot. I think I mentioned a couple weeks ago he got out of that rotation thing that he was doing, and he's playing.
Sticking more to the players that are hot or who he likes yep. or who deserves the playing time
exactly
playing well.
Exactly right. And check this out. In the last 4 games, Gilgeous-Alexander and Quade Green are 2 point guards
yep.
playing together.
Yep.
In this four-game stretch, they're averaging 27 points, 11 assists, 8 rebounds, only 3 turnovers. Those two guys are shooting 50% from the three-point line and 90% from the free-throw line.
Yeah, that'll work.
That helps, doesn't it?
You win a lot of games with guards.
But real quick, I mentioned we recognized the 78 National Championship team. That was cool. You know, 40 years ago, Goose Givens and all those guys. One thing I will say, Goose is the only one in the entire bunch that can walk without major limps. I mean,
no kidding.
They looked rough.
Like, so those guys would be, you would think, in theory, mid 62.
Yeah, 62 60, range, like 60. Yeah. Like, we ran to Chris Gettelfinger. I mean, ran to the Hyatt lobby, and he could hardly stand up straight. His back's in such bad shape. But it was Diallo's coming out party. I mean, he kind of showed back
well.
Up, played great. We were 10 of 16 from three-point shooting, had 17 assists. Kentucky freshman scored 81 points. They've done it, I think, now 6 times this season. Freshman scoring over 80 points 6 times this season. That only happened 3 times over 8 years before that. It's crazy. But Jerry Vanderbilt is just insane. You've commented on him.
I like his game. I like those guys, high-energy guys. He's got great hands. He's got great court awareness. He rebounds the out of the ball.
Well, check this out. UK's all-time record is DeMarcus Cousins at 0.42 rebounds per minute, which is high. Vanderbilt right now is 0.47. I mean, it's blowing it off the charts. It's crazy.
How tall? Like,
he's
what's
like
his measurables there?
6'8 and a half and, cut.
Yeah.
Wingspan.
Yeah. 245, 250.
Yeah, your favorite player, Brad Calipari, hit a three.
I heard about that.
He's now up to 15.79% in his career.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Hey, saw that. Did you see? You were there, right?
I was there.
Oh, I'm sure you loved it when that thing went in.
People were giving me some gigs. But we beat Missouri by 21 points, but Missouri took 7 more shots than we did. Isn't that crazy?
Basketball.
Isn't that crazy?
That is.
That means UK had more balls into the hoop.
That's right. It
Walker
is. It makes a
basic
difference.
Math. I think we go back to the phone lines, guys. I think we have Wayne, All-American caller of Red Blue Hoops. Wayne, welcome to tonight's show. Go ahead. Wayne, are you there?
Mr. Shoemaker, are you there?
Nope.
Sounds like a haunted house.
Let's go to Gotsi. Gotsi, you here?
Yeah.
Jim Gotsi. I think you're calling in from a remote location tonight. Am I correct?
I'm in Orlando, Florida.
Oh,
Jimmy G.
Is there a chance is there a chance that you've been on a golf course in the past 6 days?
Oh my God, dude! I've been here for a week and I've played right now probably 8 rounds.
Oh wow!
Oh my gosh,
it's horrible.
You having fun?
I hate it. It's 85 and sunny.
Oh wow, that's awesome.
Are you getting any business done down there too on the course or what?
I've got 2 prospects.
Well, good.
I love it.
Representing GAB in Orlando.
Yes, sir.
What do you have for us tonight?
I have a comment. I just want to say that the live remote thing at Barnsley was tip top.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, no kidding, man.
You guys did great. You guys did fantastic.
Appreciate
Thanks,
that.
Man.
For 2 guys that have never been trained to do radio, we're just bumping along the best we can.
You did great. I couldn't believe the folks that showed up that were just supporting neighbors and listen to and fans of the show.
Absolutely. Agree with that. We got a nice fan base, great bunch of great people.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a surprise. I'm going to pass the phone to Dr. Mark Shockley. He's got a question or a comment.
All right. Love it.
Louisville fan.
Ooh.
Hello, Mark Shockley.
Dr. Mark.
Hey, Evan Beck. I just wonder, all this NCAA investigation with the FBI and payment to potential prospects, why is this not an income tax evasion problem? When they're paying $100,000 to potential prospects, but there's no income tax evasion issue with this.
Oh, I think it definitely could be. The FBI, that's one of their ways to pin someone down on anything like this, is the tax evasion component.
Yeah, that's
it
a good
definitely,
point.
It definitely could come into play at some point in this whole scenario. No question about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, I don't think this is a Kentucky issue. I don't think this is a Kansas issue. I don't think this is a Duke issue. I think this is a college basketball issue.
Yeah.
That there is payments made to these players for several several programs.
Oh, I think it's college basketball wide.
These are issues that are not being NCAA. This is not a FBI. This is not a income tax question for these programs.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Hey, Mark, we appreciate the call very much and your support of Red Blue Hoops. Have a good time in Orlando.
Hey, thank you, Evan. We appreciate your time.
All right, buddy.
Hey,
have
thanks,
a good
man.
One down there.
You guys have fun.
How about that? Orlando calling in tonight, Chad.
We get them. Orlando, Mexico. Hey,
that's
Walker,
fantastic.
Give us a UE update.
All right, so right now it's 18-14, Northern Iowa. The difference of the game right now is Northern Iowa is 4-7 from threes. UE's 0-4. But right now, Dwayne Gibson's balling out with 8 points right now.
Okay.
Senior.
And this is Arch Madness.
This is Arch Madness.
Both teams are 6-17 from the field.
Speaking of Arch Madness, you know, SEC's there next week.
That's right.
Yeah.
They're going to have
Louis.
A second Arch Madness. Wow.
And the feedback so far has been kind of lukewarm on the Kentucky front from what I've been hearing. You know, it's an odd place for the SEC tournament.
I guess that's to appease Missouri.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit.
I found something out this week I'd forgotten because A&M joined the same year as Missouri, and it was going to be in Dallas in the near future. But check this move out. Nashville bought Dallas's position out. How about that?
No kidding.
So there's another thing with this. A lot of money in the system, Chad.
Absolutely.
A lot of money in this stuff.
Hey, on St. Louis, though, I've been to Arch Madness before, watching UE. That is a great venue over there.
Yeah,
I think
fun.
You guys will have a pretty good time there.
Yeah, Walker and I saw a Rush concert over there, their 40-year anniversary together. It's a cool place to watch.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Walker, cultured, man.
I know.
He sees
real quick before we go to break, our other game since last week, we hosted Ole Miss this week. Ole Miss, you know, they got rid of Andy Kennedy. Actually, he resigned.
That was weird.
Weird mid-season deal.
Yeah.
They came in on our senior night, but we have no seniors. We recognized three managers last night. But the first 5 minutes, Chad, was just it was mucky. It was ugly.
I actually tuned in. Yes, I saw the guy pushed Gabriel or something.
He did Gabriel. Then he hit Nick Richards later. There, you know, he got thrown out of the game. So Ole Miss's strategy obviously was to come in and rough Kentucky up
right.
early on.
Right.
And Ole Miss shot 37 threes. You would have loved to have played that game, wouldn't you?
Oh, I mean, yeah.
Green light.
How many they hit?
I don't remember. Walker, you remember how many Ole Miss hit?
I'll look it up.
But tell you what, we ended up winning by 18.
Yeah.
Four straight game with five players and double figures for Kentucky. Gilgeous Alexander, 17 points, 10 assists, 7 rebounds. That's the first player in 8 years of major college basketball to put those numbers up. Can you believe that? Isn't that weird?
What was that? Read that line
17
again.
17 points, 10 rebounds, and 7 assists as a point guard.
I saw that on Twitter today.
Kevin Knox is staying consistent. It's his third straight game of over 20 points. Vanderbilt had 11 rebounds. Quaddie Green had a good game. But we finished out the regular season at home. I can't believe it's gone that fast, dude. Unbelievable.
It is. It's unreal. We say it every year.
I know. It goes too fast. So, Maria, I tell you what, we're going to go to our last break of the night. Folks, come back. Red Blue Hoops. Our phone lines are 812-426-7400 or tweet.
At Red Blue Hoops.
Go Big Blue.
Go Hoosiers.
Support for Red Blue Hoops comes from German American Bank. German American Bank helps businesses achieve their financial goals by offering consulting and business lending and cash flow optimization for a wide range of industries. Learn more at germanamerican.com.
All right, welcome back to Red Blue Hoops, show number 8 of the season. March 1st, March Madness is upon us, Chad. Like you touched on the beginning of the show, it's exciting.
It's a final countdown, man.
As a college basketball fan, obviously the cloud of this, whatever you want to call it, over college basketball right now. But guess what? The games, when you watch them, there's still a lot of fun games to watch.
Do you just feel different when the calendar turns to March? It becomes like Christmas, doesn't it?
Well, as a I guess, middle-aged father, and time goes by so fast, it's scary how fast these seasons go by. Because, see, this is my next to last one with Walker in our house.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
My college basketball watch buddy.
Yeah, you guys are
eating KFC when I'm 35 in the basement or something.
That's not happening, cowboy.
You never know.
Okay, we're going to try this one more time.
We got him.
We're going back to All-American caller Wayne. Welcome to Red Blue Hoops. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How you doing tonight?
Good.
We're doing great. We tried to go to you twice, but you haven't been there to take the pitch.
Well, I guess the first time I thought I was on, and then I guess Kim cut me off.
Yeah, I think she did.
I was gone.
Yeah.
So, hey, I listened to the earlier segment where Evan was talking about, you know, this cheating situation with the FBI or whatever you want to call it. I mean, obviously, this has been going on for years. I don't think it's anything new by any means. I would say, I think LeBron James, I heard him say something about, you know, having a minor league team. And I think that's the way it's got to go with, you know, kind of like what you do with baseball. I do think if a parent, you know, can't go to a game, I don't have a problem with, you know, the school or whatever, letting them, you know, paying their way to get to the game for their kid. I think that's obviously, you know.
It's common sense stuff, man.
But I think paying players is probably the only thing that's going to happen is that the rich is going to get richer. And what's going to happen is those players, you know, you're going to go through the highest bidder and it's never going to go away until you start a minor league system like you have in baseball.
Yeah. All right. I can see that. What were you and I talking? You and I were talking about earlier, Wayne, going maybe 2 years in college, and that kind of what we thought about 2 years.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, what do you think about a 2 year?
Yeah, there's been a lot of things. I mean, I've read so much this week and listened to so much this week. I mean, again, there's people just throwing out ideas left and right, saying that a lot of people want to get rid of the one and done rule, but again, that's not an NCAA decision.
Got to meet with Silver and get all that.
You
got to
get
right?
The player
yeah,
social.
That's Adam Silver. You got to meet with him. I think, you know, the thing that, you know, that the NCAA is not doing is that they're not talking and working with the NBA, the Players Association.
Yeah.
That's the key.
That is.
They're not doing that.
And the thing right now is you got to remember that the Players Association, they love this one-and-done rule right now. Adam Silver would touch on it occasionally, but they're not really aggressively trying to change the system at this point in time. So they love it because it gets these kids into a better environment in regard to training, nutrition, coaching, TV exposure. They can scout from their couch is what I call it.
Yeah.
Versus trying to fly to these high schools.
And that's where your minor league system comes into play.
Yeah. But I think I would hate to see the entire, like, system erode from the standpoint of us not getting to see the best talent have the opportunity to play college basketball because, again, these kids have other options now. They can go to Europe, whatever.
Yeah.
There may be a change in the future. They go to G League when they turn 19, so they just don't play college like the kid this year, Mitchell Robinson. You see, people forgot about him. He committed to Western twice.
Or three times.
Oh, yeah. Center?
He ended up not even playing this year. A huge talent. He's a
five-star guy, I think, right?
Yeah.
And Western's still playing really well, 14-2 in conference.
Yeah,
they are good. Yeah.
Well said there, Walker. But so there's different options, but why don't we come to a table and let's somehow convince the people that are hoarding the money to set up a system that will allow kids, if they so choose, go to school. Because some kids don't develop as fast as others, right? Like a LeBron James is way ahead of the curve versus, let's say, like a Willie Cauley-Stein that stayed 3 years at UK. I would still want to have the opportunity to see these kids at least play in college a little bit because a lot of people look at me, Wayne, and say, Evan, I bet you hate, you know, the kids leaving after 1 year. I said, well, yeah, but it's for their best interest. But I've enjoyed watching like a John Wall play for 1 year and Anthony Davis
for one year.
I mean, it's been awesome. And I've been fortunate. I've had the opportunity to meet most of these kids at UK and get to know them a little bit. Now, that provides me a little bias, obviously. But I tell you what, DeMarcus Cousins is a tough nut on the court and can act a little goofy. But off the court, not a nicer human being I've ever met in Lexington is DeMarcus Cousins. I mean, just a great person.
You know, if you think about this, I mean, if you have a player, you know, that's really one of these top guys like a LeBron James that's ready to go to the NBA,
why not let those guys go? And that's okay. If they go into the minor league system, that's okay too.
Yep.
But make them to the point where if those players are gone and then the players are kind of like the Collie Steins that you're talking about, let them go to the college of their choice for 2 years and say, you got to stay there 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
And Wayne, I can agree with you there. The story that woke me up to this was when Eric Bledsoe came to UK with John Wall and Cousins. But then I learned that Bledsoe and his mother lived in a car for 3 months during his senior year in high school down in Alabama. And here's a kid, okay, that is forced to go to college for 1 year when an NBA GM would have hired him straight out of high school.
That's right.
Exactly.
So why
let him go.
Yeah, why force that? And then you got a kid and a mom, guess what? Let's say agent Chad Payton walks up to her and says, hey, I want to give you $10,000. And she's living in a car.
I know.
Again, folks, it's hard for us to do because we all have jobs. We have a roof overhead. We have food on the table, right? We look at this stuff through our own lens, right? Put yourself in their shoes for a minute.
Well, you know, and the thing of it is that, like you're saying, and I kind of totally agree with that. It's like LeBron James said in a reporting thing the other day. He made the comment. He said, "Hey," he goes, I was poor. Me and my mom was poor. So basically, you know, I knew where I was going."
Yeah, that's right.
And that's why you say, "Hey, you get rid of the one and done, and you let those premier players able to go to the NBA. So we're going to go directly there if they're good enough. Like you said, baseball, Aaron Judge or somebody like that that's 18, 19 years old. Let them go ahead and play."
Yep, I agree.
I agree, Wayne. Hey, Wayne.
That's the only way you're going to fix it. If you start trying to pay players, then I think it's going to be this way. You're going to always say, okay, so they're paying $10,000, let's go pay $40,000.
Oh, it actually, I think it would be even bigger than that if they allowed these kids. If you let these kids get sponsors, I think it could go through the roof, the ones that are truly valuable. But guess what? It could also, all of a sudden, it could be a golfer like Jordan Spieth at Texas.
No question.
Guess what? He would have had sponsorships.
Yeah.
So my theory. Right. Kind
of hey, said. Wayne. One quick question before you go. How many games does Indiana win in the Big Ten tournament?
I mean, I think we're definitely going to get one. I think we can get two.
Oh, I think you can beat Purdue.
I do, too.
Yeah, I think we can. So I'm going to say two.
All right.
I think two probably gets us in the NIT.
I agree. I'm with you on that, Bub.
Hey, Wayne, we appreciate the call very much, man. Thanks for your support.
Thanks, Wayne.
Yeah, Walker.
I think people underplay how big of playing a game before the other team in the arena is.
Oh, I think
it does
helps.
Help with shooting and stuff.
Yeah,
man. I agree with that.
Like, I can tell you this, like the really good UK teams that we've seen in the SEC tournament that play on Friday.
It's the worst game.
They start out the first 10 minutes of that game, and they don't really play that well when the other team's hot. And we win that game by like 10, all right? Then the next night, we blow someone out by 30.
Yeah.
And I think Walker's got, you know what I'm saying, they're kind of used to it. We're going back to the phone lines. Lance, welcome to Red Blue Hoops. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing great, man. Welcome to the night show.
I appreciate it. I just jumped on, so forgive me if you guys have already covered this. But I want to hit on the Big Ten tournament. Who do you think is going to win it? Who's going to finish second? And also the SEC tournament.
All right, Chad, Big Ten real quick. What do you think?
Big Ten, I'm going to have to go with Michigan State. I mean, and then, I don't know. I'm going to say a Michigan State, Ohio State final. I think Indiana does get Rutgers tonight and gets Purdue tomorrow and makes it interesting Saturday. But I don't know if we can win. We can't win three big games in a row. So.
Yeah. So your prediction is Michigan State?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that prediction. Lance, for me, if you had asked me this question 2 weeks ago, it would be a different answer. But I'm going Kentucky, man. I think they've got it going right now. If we can get to that Friday game, I think we have a chance to go to the finals.
Yeah, so you're saying if we finish in the top four in the conference, we get a bye on Thursday?
Yep.
Right.
If we had to play
right now, Kentucky is tied for third.
Yeah, and we can either play Thursday or Friday. If we lose at Florida and Arkansas wins, we play Friday.
No, Thursday.
Thursday, I'm sorry, Thursday. If Kentucky loses and Arkansas loses,
we're the four seed.
We play on Friday. So I say let's go to Florida and win and just play Friday.
Yeah,
be done with it.
Take care of business.
Yeah. But if we play on Thursday, I think our chances diminish greatly over there.
How has Purdue done this year? Because didn't they start off the year pretty hot?
They did. Won a few games early, and then they actually lost Bahamas. Two games in a row in the Bahamas
to Western Kentucky and Tennessee.
And then they got Arizona. They ended up pounding Arizona by like 30, I think.
Yep.
And then they made a run. I think they had a 19-game winning streak at one point and then lost two or three games in a row, three games. I think their current record's 26-5. I think they're probably a potential two or three seed. Very dangerous, but I'm like Evan on that. I don't trust Matt Painter, so I think they're beatable.
Yeah, Lance, he's had a pretty weak March performance. They've been upset several years in a row now with a really good team.
Yeah.
They're a two seed right now in the South with the three seed Tennessee. With a seven seed Creighton, that could beat him.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Anything else, Lance?
Let's see. What else do I have?
See, last year when Lance said, hey, we're going to win this game tonight and then we're not going to lose again until – remember, he picked them to win like 10 or 12 in a row, and they did. So.
Hey, Lance, I got something for you.
I'm kind of feeling the same way. I'm not going to make the same prediction because I think we're going to have a little difficulty down in Gainesville on Saturday. I think we can win the game, but it's going to be – absolute war, obviously.
Yep.
And if we get some good play out of maybe Nick Richards and Hamidou to go with the other guys who are playing well, I think we win. But I think if we lose that game, we're going to go on a run.
Cool.
If we win that game, we're going to go on a run.
All right. Lance is calling a run.
He's calling
for a run.
That's
the way I'm looking at it.
Guys, I appreciate the show.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot,
for the call.
Man.
Appreciate it, Lance, very much. Tell you what, Chad, this is a weird stat for you. Kentucky's won the championship in 58, 78, 98, 20-year increments.
There you go. There you go.
The 98 squad, we lost on Valentine's Day. That was our last loss this year. That year, we won 14 in a row to win the title. It would equal the exact same number of games this year if we won the title.
No kidding.
That's kind of do-do-do-do-do.
What are the Vegas odds on Kentucky right now?
10-1.
Wow, Walker has been gambling.
Drew Franklin placed a one the other day, 50-1.
I was going to say 10-1 surprises me.
That's what I heard.
Nah, Drew Franklin bet it 50-1 last week.
That is a good number.
I would take that.
I would too.
I mean, there's probably a different site, but that's what I heard.
Oh, it could be. But anyway, it's kind of weird, the whole 58, 78, 98.
You've been digging, man.
Well, I can't take credit for that. I heard that on a show the other day, but I liked it because I love that kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
Again, I tell you what, before I forget, I do want to mention, folks, for all of our Evansville and Tri-State listeners, get out this week and weekend. Support the Ohio Valley Conference Tournament at the Ford Center. Obviously, the Beck family is cheering hard for our alma mater, Murray State.
I'll be there tomorrow to heckle with the refs.
It's great D1 basketball. Belmont's really good. Murray State's really good. So get out, support it, and it'll give Evansville a chance to host it again next year.
I'm going to shout out to my buddy Rick Berry, big Murray State fan, Murray State grad. You know Rick.
Oh, yeah.
He'll be at the – we're actually going to all get together tomorrow night to see that game. So,
what I would suggest, folks, it's going to be 51 degrees tomorrow, a little bit of a north wind, but sunny.
Ooh. Wow, it sounds like
you're
a weatherman.
So on Main Street tomorrow afternoon, there's going to be a little bit of a festival atmosphere. You know, there's going to be a tent set up, a little of a festival garden.
Any music.
There will be music. There will be food trucks. But I promise you the Murray State fans – or like a little mini Big Blue Nation, man. They travel.
That's cool.
They do, and they're a lot of fun. So I think Main Street and Evansville tomorrow is going to be a lot of fun.
Plus, I'll be Friday down. Night.
It Friday is Friday night.
That's right. Friday night on Main Street. So, Chad, upcoming games, obviously, you play like in like an hour.
We tip it, 8 o'clock, provided that there's nothing crazy that happens before.
And you're
so
playing Rutgers.
We are. They beat Minnesota last night by 11.
Place should be sold out, right?
You know, I'm getting – the returns so far have been the amount of people is not bad.
The first day equaled last year's first day.
Yeah, and that's surprising.
That's kind of crazy, yeah.
Mike DeCourcy posted that. I trust his
– he does a pretty good job.
Last year's in D.C. though, right?
Was it?
No. Last year would have been in Chicago or Indianapolis, I think. It's the first year that's away.
Intern had an eyebrow there, Chad.
He did.
So your upcoming game is tonight, man. It's immediate. I mean, how you feel about it?
I think we'll get tonight's game. It's just
– boom, I was correct.
Where was it at?
Washington, D.C. because of Maryland.
I don't remember that at all. Okay.
Maryland.
Okay.
So younger minds, man. Fresher,
so,
Michigan
fresher
Wolverine.
Memories.
Yeah, Indiana's record in the Big Ten tournament is 12-20, I think.
Dude, that was my next – that was the segue. Look at the sticky note.
Wow.
The Rick Bozick article that posted this week. I was going to ask you about that.
I did read that article.
I did not realize this, folks. There's been 20 Big Ten tournaments.
Yes.
And you guys are currently in 10th place in tournament performance, 12-20. You finished second one time. That was in 2001, but you've never won it, right?
Correct.
You've lost the opening game 11 times, but I think you win tonight.
I think so, too.
I think you definitely
win
tonight.
I think we do.
You've only had four IU players voted to the all-tournament team. That, those stats in that article
it's incredible.
Blew me away. But I want to give you guys a compliment. I watched the Ohio State game the other night, and the Ohio State coach, Holtman.
Yes.
Chris Holtman, he was Big Ten Coach of the Year.
He was.
But I will tell you, at the end of regulation, at the end of both overtimes, Indiana's offensive sets were far superior to Ohio State's. Ohio State was stand and dribble and make a play, which I can't stand. You guys are running really tight sets, so I was impressed by that with Archie's coaching there. And you didn't see that under Clappy Kearney.
You did not. The X's and O's are there. I will say I think Archie gave Robert Johnson, being that he was a senior, he gave him a chance to win it in regulation. He ISO'd him, which Johnson got a pretty good shot off.
He did.
But looking back, hindsight's 20/20, I would have probably just went to Morgan like he did in overtime. And Morgan, he's tough in there. He is a tough cover. So,
I got some off-topic news, but Sean Miller is coaching tonight, and the guy who got seen for PEDs, Trier, he's playing tonight too.
You've got to be kidding me.
No.
And they had a Board of Trustees meeting this afternoon too.
Jeff Borzello just tweeted that out.
After Alonzo Trier is playing tonight.
That's what Jeff just said, yes.
I think Arizona's all in at that. They're saying, guess what? If we're going to have anything done this year, we're all in. Let's might as well play him.
I wonder if Sean Elliott's playing. Heck, they're bringing everybody back.
I will say this. This has been a rocky year for Indiana Kentucky basketball.
It's been different.
But both teams have improved late in the season. I mean, there's no question about it. Both teams have improved. I mean, UK – here's what I want to know, Chad. Where are all the Big Blue Nation people that said, I'm done with this team this year? Where are they at right now?
I know it. What about the people you know? What are they saying?
I know. They're hiding from me, literally. They won't even answer my text anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, Kentucky is averaging 88 points a game the last four games. If they can just do that a little bit going forward, they can be I mean, if you're a two seed or a one seed and Kentucky's your five or six seed.
You don't want to see them out
there. No, not at all.
Well, to dangle the carrot for next year, season five of Red Blue Hoops, it's going to be fun. Both teams are going to be really a lot better. I really think so, too.
And we got a little bet for the Kentucky-Indiana game if they get on the schedule next year.
That's right. I like it.
Well, folks, we're going to wrap up here. We're wrapping up show eight of season four. We may or may not be back in totality in the studio next week.
That's right.
The Beck family may be in St. Louis. So, folks, come back next week for Red Blue Hoops, a little March Madness. Go Big Blue.
Go Hoosiers. Win it.
Production support for Red Blue Hoops is provided by Evansville Teachers Federal Credit Union. Red Blue Hoops is a production of WNIN Tri-State Public Media. The executive producer is Brad Kimmel. Steve Berger is the producer. The technical director is Maria Thomas. The opinions in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of WNIN staff or board of directors, or, for that matter, Purdue fans, Evansville fans, USI fans, Louisville fans, and certainly not Duke fans. We'll be right back.